You're listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPCC and the KPCC app. I'm John Horn in for Larry Mantle this week. Earlier in the show, you heard our critics rave about the new drama, Cajillionaire. It's about a family of small-time con artists who are trying to get by in L.A. The film stars Evan Rachel Wood as Old Dolio. Her parents, played by Richard Jenkins and Deborah Winger, have raised her to be a part of their low-rent criminal schemes. But their comfortable family dynamic starts to change when they invite an outsider, played by Gina Rodriguez, to take part in a heist. I started by asking Miranda July whether her idea from the start was to have the family be con artists.
It was, and that the ways of the family would be really strong and almost cult-like. But yes, that baggage claim scene where they, in order to do this sort of mini heist, they have to pretend to be strangers to not know each other. And there's something so haunting about that, like pretending to not know your parents in public. And then I had the idea, like, what if they really became strange, like, in that moment? What if there was something about what was happening in the story whereby they were suddenly unfamiliar to her? And that was, in a way, that was enough. Like, how you get there and where you go from there is a movie.
And Old Dolio, who's played by Evan Rachel Wood, and I suspect I'm not the first person to say this, really reminded me of a hostage. And it reminded me of J.C. Duggard, who was kidnapped at age 11. She was held for 18 years. So almost about the same age as Old Dolio in the story. And after she was rescued, she said this of how she survived: I adapted to survive my circumstances.
Don't we all? I mean, I guess that, you know, it's sort of I think you could describe childhood that way. Like, you adapt to survive your circumstances. They may not be that bad, but nonetheless, you adapt to survive them. And then one day, sooner or later, you step into the real world, or you just suddenly realize that our way is not the only way. And I mean, it was important to me to have Old Dolio in that moment really want to go home. Because I relate to that both longing for freedom and the second you get out there feeling very guilty and like something's wrong here. And of course, it's not wrong, it's just new, it's just unfamiliar.
This is obviously a work of fiction, and yet the little cons and thefts that the family conducts feel very real. Is that part of the research of putting this script together, that you had to figure out how a family might go about stealing other people's stuff?
I mean, it's a combination of like sort of a mindset I had in my 20s as like a young punk. I don't condone any of this, by the way, and it was a long time ago. And, you know, for the record, like past the statute.
Youthful indiscretion, we call it.
Yeah. But I will say, like, the luggage scam, yes, me and my friends did do that one. Like, that was in my mind. That'd been my mind for years.
Where you pretend that you've lost a bag and get the refund.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about a scene that really stood out for me, and I'm not going to describe it in great detail because I don't want to spoil it, but it's a scene where a family visits the home of a man who is not in good health. And it really seems to me to define the movie, this mix of grifting, kindness, plain characters that the family isn't, and then remembering pretty quickly, at least one character, that this is not a hospice visit, this is a heist. So I'm curious how that scene came together, because it seems so central to everything that happens in the film.
I mean, I've always had the idea that art, that pretending, that making things up is real, like can make real things happen, can make real transformation happen, even if its basis is make-believe. And they pretend to be a family. I think that's okay to say, not a spoiler of my own movie. And you know, while it seems in the moment to Old Dolio maybe that they will pretend into reality, that maybe they are all changing in that moment, that it doesn't exactly happen that way. But I always think of that as the moment when the movie itself changes, sort of the pivot where it it does all become realer on an emotional level.
There is such a specific look to so much of this film, the way the characters dress, the way they walk, the place they live in. But I'm curious about how they speak, especially Evan Rachel Wood's character. She has a deep kind of husky voice that is so unusual for people who have heard her act before. Where does that come from? And how did you settle on that as the voice of this character?
I mean, full disclosure, I would not have asked an actor to do a voice like, you know, like a limp is one thing, but a voice, that just seems dicey, you know? And once you start, what if you change your mind? You know, like, but Evan, during rehearsal, one day she was like, she sort of dropped her voice and she was like, you know, I can talk down here. This is my original register. And I was like, whoa, what? What do you? And she's like, yeah, I used to get vocal nodes. And so a vocal coach trained my voice up to here. And this is the voice people are most familiar with, but I'm equally comfortable down here. And I was like, hold on, wait, really? Like you could do this for a whole movie and that would feel okay. And it was no problem. And not only that, it was obvious that when she used that voice, she really dropped down into Old Dolio. And it was kind of a way in for her. And it really fit. Like you could imagine, I mean, there's so many like queer women I've known who it's like, are they doing something consciously to lower their voice? Or is that just their true soul? You know, I feel like it's a mutable territory anyways, and sort of fine if it, like you don't even have to know whether that is something she's doing or just who she is.
And my last question is kind of an art imitating art question. This is a story about a family trying to find something, find a home, find a way, find a path, find means. And yet this film started off at Annapurna, which is no longer really around. It was briefly going to be bought by A24. Then it was bought by Focus. And it's been, I think, 2 years since you shot it. Does it feel like in some ways the film is kind of on a parallel journey to the Dine family in terms of finding its way out?
Well, I mean, that's a nice story. I would just say there was a lot of interest at Sundance. We went to the company that was most passionate. And, you know, maybe we were waiting for the pandemic. Like, maybe this is a movie that is for us now. And we didn't need it badly enough before. And maybe it makes more sense now. I mean, the movie comes out this week. This is the life we're living now. And I've decided to own that. Like I think in some faded way, it was meant to play out like this. And this is the audience that will most respond to it, us now.
That is writer, director, and actress Miranda July. Her new movie, Kajillionaire, is out this week. Thanks so much for listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPCC and the KPCC app. I'm John Horn in for Larry Mantle. Have a great weekend.